Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Got a tough estate, tax, or financial problem keeping you up at night? You can call the show right now at 503-222-9700. That's 503-222-9700. Long distance and podcast listeners can call toll free at 800-344-5836. Coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, and broadcast on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Bo Caldwell.
We do Investing Simplified.
Welcome in to Investing Simplified. However you're tuning in today, thank you for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. As a reminder, we do replay the show on podcast format. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, I think iHeartMusic, basically anywhere that you get your podcasts. And we also post it to our website. So we'll post the show to our website and as well at investingsimplifiedradio.com. So if you have questions, if you'd want to cover things, please give me a call or drop me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com as we continue to broadcast here during this age of coronavirus, this physically, socially distanced broadcasting our radio show, trying to come to you and give you, you know, content that's applicable to your situation, that's interesting, you know, keep you posted on the way that we're working with clients and the different things that we cover with our clients. So one of the things that people have been asking a lot about lately is about their stimulus check and about the stimulus check that may or may not have come. If you have not gotten your stimulus check or you have not checked it, go to investingsimplifiedradio.com. You can see a couple of weeks ago I posted on there the link to go to the IRS's website to check on your stimulus payment. I also understand that because of the stimulus and because of all the different things going on with the IRS and with the Treasury Department, that the federal tax returns, if you did your tax return and you're waiting on your refund, my understanding is they're a little backlogged. So a lot of people have told me they've gotten their refund from Oregon, but not their refund from the federal level. I haven't had a chance to ask Kevin Stege about it, but the different CPAs that I have talked to said that they are hearing that the IRS is backlogged. Well, let me tell you, folks, we got to this weekend. We've gotten, you know, the opening up of the state is starting to happen, although not here in Multnomah, Clackamas, or Washington County in the state of Oregon. We haven't even applied, is my understanding. We haven't even applied to open up, and that's putting a damper in it. It's putting a hamper in a lot of businesses out there. A lot of small businesses, a lot of restaurants, and it's finally, you know, kind of started to be felt in the overall market. If you saw this week, the market had its worst week, actually, since March. And it's so funny when you hear those, you know, those headlines, the market has the worst week since March. Stay tuned, see what comes next. But the thing about it is, it's the worst week since March. Worst week since whatever. There's constantly new headlines about how bad the market is, how good the market is, what's happening, what's doing this. It's a lot of noise, folks. It's a lot of noise. And if you're investing in the market, it's feeling very much like a gamble right now. It's feeling very much like a roller coaster. And I think if you are investing with less than 5 or 10 years to go, I don't think that you need to put your money in the market right now. And I think that you need to take your time, dipping your toes in the water, start getting into the overall market. If you have a long time to go, if you have 10, 15, 20 years till retirement, sure. But I think there's going to be more sale prices. I think the market still will go down and test those, maybe not all the way to the lows, not all the way to the bottom that we had in March. I've heard a lot of different folks say different things about what they believe the bottom being in, the bottom was in. The thing about it is all those experts know zilch, folks, pretty much nothing. So those experts don't know really what they're talking about. Almost all of those experts expected and called for interest rates to be, you know, skyrocketing by this point, that the Fed was going to continue to raise interest rates and it was going to ruin everything. Obviously, the Fed did not. Now, nobody saw coronavirus coming. Nobody saw the oil prices plummeting. But that just leads you to the point of nobody really knows what they're talking about. And I know that seems funny because I'm talking here on the radio about what I know and what I think. And that's the answer I give when people say, what's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen? What? You know, I don't know. And that's the only real answer. If you hear anyone tell you they know what is going to happen, they don't. They are lying. And whether it's, you know, hedge fund managers or, you know, electric car company founders or the president or anybody else, they don't know. We do have an election coming up. We are running into an election year. And that always causes volatility, historically. So I think that it's going to cause some volatility coming in, particularly if there's any inkling that the president isn't going to get reelected or that there's a change in ownership, it's not the right word, but if there's a change in majority in Congress. Because what the market likes, folks, the market likes stability and the market likes not a lot of change. The market really likes when nothing is getting done, generally speaking, because it means that they can have, you know, stability and they can have the ability to know or think they know what's happening. Now, the coronavirus has kind of thrown that just out the window, right? But if we do have a consistent leadership in the White House and in Congress, then I think that would be good for the market. Now, I don't know that it's going to be bad for the market were things to change, but I know that it'll be more volatile if things change. And I shouldn't say I know because I just got done telling you that people who say they know don't know. So I don't, but I think that that will happen. If we do get a change at the top, I think it will cause significant volatility. I also think that a lot of the backstopping that the Fed has done, a lot of the money that has been spent, and I don't know if you're following it, but we have spent something like $3 trillion so far to fight coronavirus, and Congress is proposing another three. That's a ton of money. That's so much money. That's more than 10% of what the current debt is, which you already know is way too high. So I think that that tax problem, and I call it a tax problem because I can't think of any other way for us to pay for our debts than to raise taxes. I think that tax problem is coming. And it can provide a real issue for you if you've been saving all of your money into a retirement account, into an IRA or to a 401k or a 403b. Taylor Cattell is going to be on the show next segment. She's going to talk a little bit about gifting strategies. We're going to talk about ways to avoid that a little bit. I'm going to continue talking about other options about, you know, getting rid of the tax man. But if you think about not just for you, okay, so you've saved up a bunch of money in retirement, and let's say you were a Boeing employee, you had a great pension, or let's say you were a state employee or worked for the Postal Service or you worked for the Department of Defense, one of these really great positions that had really great benefits and came with a really great pension, okay? So you have a really great pension that is spitting out money that's going to cover your living expenses. You have Social Security that's covering your living expenses. So really, you don't need to touch your retirement dollars. So you say, I'm going to leave that behind for my kids or my grandkids. Well, folks, with the Secure Act, that changed. Your kids or your grandkids now got to take the money out within 10 years. They no longer have the stretch option to stretch it over their lifetimes, which is a huge problem. So I know that people are so tired and so very tired of me saying Roth conversions, Roth conversions, Roth conversions. But now is the time to start thinking about Roth conversions. Tax rates are historically low, folks, historically low. And if we get a change in Congress, if we get a change in the White House, I'm not saying we are or we aren't. I have no idea. I do not subscribe to political commentaries because it just makes me upset because I have been very clear on this program and Chuck and I talked about it all the time. I hate all of them. I do. I think everybody that's in office should be thrown out and get new people, but I don't know that the new people are going to be any better because I feel like anybody that runs for office, generally speaking, is not really in it to serve us. So I think that they're going to raise taxes. And I think that probably taxes have to be raised no matter who's in charge, because spending continues to go up. Whether it's on coronavirus relief, whether it's on defense, whether it's on veterans, but all the things that we need, right? We need those things, but the spending is just going crazy. And so I think that with all that spending, what's really going to happen is that taxes are going to go up. And what does that mean for you and me? That means if we've been saving our money in this tax-deferred environment, if you are saying, well, I need the tax deduction, I don't think you do. I think you need to get the tax deduction when you take the money out, particularly if you're young, folks. If you have a long time till retirement and your 401k or your 403b has a Roth option, please explore doing it. Please. Because you are going to be so happy that you did, because that Roth comes out tax-free. And I don't know about you, but particularly if you're in that pension situation I just described, your income may be higher when you retire than it is now. You add Social Security, your pension, you add all the different things, and plus pulling money out of your retirement accounts, it may be higher, let alone where tax rates are going to be, which I think tax rates have nowhere to go but up. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I think, and it worries me. So Roth conversions, Roth conversions, Roth conversions, right? Or explore putting the money into a Roth. Please, just explore it. I know it's going to hurt you more in terms of your monthly take-home, and it'll feel harder, but I'd rather that you did that now when you could still earn more money than have to take a hit to your monthly income when you're in retirement, because we're giving so much up to taxes. If you want to explore a Roth conversion, what that looks like, how much that would cost, give us a call. 503-253-3000. We'll incorporate it into your overall financial plan that we do for all the folks that call us. We'll talk about how you're allocated, make sure your all-weather portfolio is set up, and how does a Roth conversion fit into there. There's no obligation and no cost, folks, to do that. If you're a radio listener, give us a call. Let us know what station you heard us on, and we'll be happy to set up time. Now, I know that in this age of corona, you know, COVID-19, not a lot of people are open for business. We are open for business. I am in the office every day working for my clients, and I meet some face-to-face from a six-foot distance if we need to. Not very many people want to do that, understandably. I'd prefer not to right now because I want to keep everybody safe. So I have a lot of folks that we're meeting over the phone or we're meeting over video conference, because in this day and age, I mean, what a blessing, right? We're able to meet over video. We can still sit face-to-face but be, you know, far enough apart. I've got a call scheduled later tonight with a bunch of my college friends. We're going to be sitting down and just, you know, having a beer and, you know, BSing. But we're not going to be in the same place, right? We have to be over Zoom. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So if you would like to do that virtual appointment, give our office a call. And as we start to open up here, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to open up very soon, we can meet with you in the office. Okay, folks, and we have a new office right off of Northwest Cornell Road. For those folks who listen to us on the west side, we can meet you in Clackamas area. We can meet you in Southeast. We can meet you up in Vancouver. We have a lot of different spots, different ways that we can meet with folks and take care of them. It's always easier to do it virtual, though. But once we start to open up, if you've been waiting till then to give us a call, give us a call. 503-253-3000. I'd love to sit down with you. I'd love to talk with you about what you're doing and what's keeping you up at night. So I want to kind of jump back to the overall market and just talk a little bit about timing the market and timing in the market, right? So a lot of people think, man, I got to get all that upside. I'm afraid of missing out. I need to go straight up. The market was up 30%. I need to be in. And then they buy in. And then unfortunately, this last couple months happened, right? And now they're upset because their portfolio went down 35%. And that's really, if you're going to try and get that upside, you're going to be leaving yourself open to the downside. Now, you may not do it. You may have been lucky. You may have pulled the trigger to get out at exactly the right time. And if you did, kudos. And I mean it. Kudos to you, because that's great, right? That's great that you timed it that right. But you're not going to be able to do that all the time. So you want a comprehensive plan, a structured overall portfolio that's going to make you last through those ups and downs. And now I feel like this is just bad as the Roth conversions, is your risk tolerance. I had a client that we talked to the other day, and he said, I think that this really made me realize that my risk tolerance wasn't as high as I thought it was. And luckily for him, we have time until we need to take that money out. But if you have not analyzed your risk tolerance, look at your 401k, folks. If you were in one of those lifestyle funds, it went down significantly. And how did that feel opening up your statement? It feels terrible. Losing money is terrible. And just behaviorally, as humans, we are always more willing to give up on potential gains than we are to take more losses than we were prepared for. So use this as an opportunity to say, should I compare myself to the market? Should I expect what on the upside? And if so, then you need to expect what's happening on the downside. Because if you're not expecting what's happening on the downside, it's going to hit you like a Mack truck like it did. And it's going to happen. And it happens every few years, folks. It hadn't happened for quite a while before this year, which is why it came as such a surprise to a lot of folks. But it happens every few years, notwithstanding the coronavirus, notwithstanding the COVID-19 issue. So as things start to open up, as things start to get back, I think the market is going to come back. I think we're going to have a W-shaped recovery, or I've heard someone reference a swoosh, like a Nike swoosh, because, you know, here local, Nike's a good company. I think a swoosh sounds about right. I don't think that we're going to, you know, rise rapidly like we did, you know, in the couple weeks following the bottoming in the end of March. We rose rapidly and retraced about half of our losses. Hooray! You retraced half of your losses. That means you're still down significantly, right? I think it's going to take quite a while, and there's going to be quite a lot of volatility till we get back to where we were. And if that sounds like something you can handle, then great. Keep investing the way that you are. But if you can't handle that, if that's something that's been worrying you, or now that we're nearly back to, you know, we only lost half of what we lost before, or if you were just riding the NASDAQ and maybe you had, you know, QQQ, I think that's the ETF that tracks the NASDAQ, right? Or you're riding an index or a fund inside of your 401k that was tracking the NASDAQ because you thought, yeah, that tech is going to do really well, and it did, right? It's driven really well over the last, couple of months considering. But it went down really hard, and you're thinking, I don't know if I can stand that again. Folks, it's going to happen again, right? History doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. So it's going to happen again. And if that's not something you're willing to take, give me a call. Let's talk about things that we can do to diversify your risk. Let's quarantine your risk, right? Let's pretend that your portfolio needs to be quarantined and needs to set aside some of that risk, because then you can still have a portion of it allocated to that risky side, that risky bucket, and you need that. We got to beat inflation, right? Stuff's just getting more and more expensive. And if we continue to have shortages on things, if we continue to have issues with supply, stuff's just going to get more expensive. And it does over time, folks, right? So make sure that you quarantine your risk and give our office a call if you'd like to explore what quarantining your risk will look like. Or if you have questions about Roth conversions, if you have questions about estate planning, if you have questions about legacy planning, any and all of those we can help with. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be back with Taylor Cattell and Cover Your Assets. This is Investing Simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
It's time to learn to cover your assets with Taylor Cattell of KG Law Group, online at kglawgroup.com. Have a legal question? Call in now at 503-417-9595. Now, here's Taylor Cattell.
Welcome back. This is Taylor Cattell with KG Law Group. We're here with a segment, Cover Your Assets, and I'm in the makeshift studio with Beau. Thanks for getting the microphone, hopefully a little better than it was last week.
Yeah, we're doing our best. It's a, you know, it's a makeshift studio, and I have heard from listeners and heard from a couple of clients that said it sounds like we're down a well. We are not down a well. We are just recording in this age of coronavirus. So I appreciate you being here, and you know, I know there's a lot of things that people have questions. You've been dealing with clients with coronavirus issues, with estate planning, and you know, what's on the docket today?
Well, I want to reiterate what we talked a little bit about last week, which is that estate planning is as needed now as ever, and we are doing estate planning, and we are open, and we're doing as much by phone and virtual appointment as possible. We talked last week about some of the formal requirements for signing a will and notarizing trusts and things like that. We are able to offer no contact signing appointments, so it's not exactly business as usual, but we are still able to accomplish the goals. So just to reiterate that this is a business that is heightened in priority and should be given the spread of the pandemic. But this week, I wanted to talk about one of the most common questions I get related to gifting. So a lot of people have the misconception that you can't give away more than $15,000 per person per year. And there's a couple misunderstandings as far as what that there is the right gifting limit, right, for a gift tax return. But we're only talking about federal gift tax there. And so what I was hoping to do was give my very short spiel on what I tell my clients related to gifting, and then get your thoughts, Bo, on how you advise your clients related to gifting and custodial accounts and some other things that can be estate planning tools that are a lot less expensive than complex gifting trusts or things that are, you know,
generation skipping and all these other things.
Right.
You know, common, you know, and you mentioned that when we were talking, you know, before we came on, that, you know, the common misconception about the $15,000 gift limit, and you hear that a lot, and because people don't realize, you know, you mentioned the words taxable gift, and, you know, we could talk about it with Kevin, you know, when he's on too, but taxability is the level that the $15,000, because the one thing I want to make sure that people understand is they can give away as much money as they want,
exactly.
Right? You can gift, there's no limit on the gift, there's a limit on what has to be taxed as a taxable gift, or you have to file a gift tax return, right?
Exactly. But then the other misconception is when you pay those taxes.
Right.
And so the foundational distinction is Oregon versus federal. So starting with that distinction, Oregon does not have a gift tax, period. So if you're dealing with Oregon estate taxes, which has that $1 million exemption, and then you pay basically 10 to 16% over $1 million, that is not related to lifetime gifts. So for Oregon...
Oh, so it's not a uniform thing.
It's not a uniform thing. So for Oregon purposes, you can give away anything during your lifetime. Now, there's other consequences, like you don't get a step up in basis if you give it away. We can talk a little bit more about that. If you have an asset with a really low basis and you die with it, right, you could pay less in capital gains. That happens particularly with houses and land here in Oregon, particularly in the Portland metro area, where the value of real estate has gone up so significantly, so quickly. But we can deal with that on an asset by asset and you know, obviously in conversation with your CPA to make sure we know how all that works and what the actual consequences are. So there's always an income tax question on the back end. Nothing is free, right? But looking versus the estate tax versus the income tax, that's the question. Is there a difference in basis? If we're talking about cash, that's not even part of the equation.
Sure.
So for Oregon purposes, there is no gift tax. That's the big takeaway. For federal purposes, what happens is the federal side, the IRS, looks at how much did you give away during your lifetime and how much of your assets was the value of the assets at the time that you died. And if you combine that amount, is it over the $11.58 million?
As a single, as an individual person, right?
Yeah. And double that if you're married, although there's some asterisks on how you get that election. But generally speaking, you could basically shelter twice that if you're married. Or again, you don't automatically get to double up as a married couple either. So that's another very key distinction. That's called portability. Can you port over an exemption from your spouse? In Oregon, the answer is no. On the federal side, the answer is yes. So, coming back to the gift tax piece,
right.
If you basically have a total estate of, let's say, $2 to $5 million,
sure,
you could give the whole thing away, and you're not going to be paying any gift tax on it, gift or estate, because you're still under, at current rates, you're still under the federal taxable amount. Now, you still have to file a gift tax
right.
return. Because you've given more than the 15, if you've given more than the 15,000 per person per year. So what are you paying? You're basically paying an accountant to file the gift tax return
right.
and track it, but that versus the Oregon estate tax is going to be significantly less.
Sure. Well, $1 million at, you know, 12%, we'll just cut in the middle, or 13, I guess, it's half
yeah.
in the middle of, you know, 10 and 16, but $1 million, 13%, that's $130,000.
Right.
I don't think it's going to cost that much to work with the CPA
right.
to file that gift tax return.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So so what I talk to my clients about is if they are, this comes up particularly with gifts to, say, grandchildren, right? If they want to do some contribution to their grandkids, but really they expect to give their kids the inheritance, and we're not talking about major dollars here. It's not generation skipping, you know, issues and
yeah.
trying to maximize those exemptions. That gets really complicated. It's more just, gosh, I want to make sure that my grandkids feel loved.
Yeah.
I want to make sure they get some token gift that can give them a boost. Maybe it pays for their college books. Maybe it's a, you know, a year of college, community college, or something like that. There are a lot of complex things we can talk about, but is it worth the cost?
Sure.
Right?
Right.
And I'm not trying to make myself not get the work, right? It's just at the end of the day, what's really best for the client. And if you've got your foundational estate plan and you want to include this, what I usually recommend is talking to the financial advisor about setting up a 529 plan, setting up a custodial account, and doing a lifetime gift so that you can, first of all, get the appreciation
right.
now, right? There's an emotional component of giving a gift
yeah.
while you can see the results. But there's also the tax benefit of decreasing your estate by however much with really little to no cost.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you give away, giving away during your life, you mentioned the situation where someone's maybe in the $2.5-3 million
mm-hmm.
range of estate. And it's important for people to know, too, when we're talking about estates, because a lot of people will say, wow, that's, I don't have $2 million. You know, I don't have more than $1 million, but then maybe they own their house outright.
Right.
And in the next 20 years, maybe that house is going to be worth more than, I mean,
right.
you know, because homes have been appreciating faster than inflation when we're adjusting the $1 million exemption. And I don't know that Oregon's going to adjust that with inflation.
Not showing signs of it.
Doesn't seem to be. But so conceivably, they may have a $400,000 IRA or 401k balance.
Right.
They may have a couple $100,000 in life insurance. And then
life
maybe
insurance
they have
counts.
Got, maybe
another
they've got a house.
Common misconception. So
right.
if you have $1 million in life insurance, you're over the mark.
Right.
And that doesn't feel like it because you're not looking at your account statement and saying, oh gosh, I'm a millionaire, right?
Right.
It's, but all of a sudden, you're going to jump into that taxable estate. And that's a surprise
sure.
to many people.
Well, a lot of people think about it because they were sold it, or they, I don't want to say they were sold it because insurance
right.
is an important part of everyone's plan, but maybe they bought it with the understanding that this is, it goes tax-free to your beneficiaries, which is true.
Right.
The money, the payout
right.
from the insurance benefit,
no,
the death benefit, is yeah, it's income tax-free, but if it puts you above the estate tax limit, then it could be a real problem.
Exactly. And sometimes you can buy insurance to pay estate taxes.
Right.
Right. So it can be a tool. It's basically a cash infusion that can be used for a number of different reasons. But it's knowing and understanding and expecting how does your life insurance, how do your retirement accounts, how do those coordinate with your overall estate plan, and how do you use the right assets for the right purposes, which could include what do you gift?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, and you know, you're talking about gifting, and because a lot of people forget about the Oregon not having a gift tax, and I've had clients that have done things, you know, a client that, you know, has significant assets and maybe giving away a property. You mentioned property appreciation is giving away property, you know, to their kids or to their grandkids, you know, during their lifetime, but then you lose the appreciation. But it can work the other way, right? So if you have children or, you know, if you're a child and you have elderly folks and you have a relationship where, you know, an understanding that they're going to leave it to you in their estate plan. Uh-huh. But conceivably, if my estate is quite large, but I have my parents' estate is small.
Right.
And I have a severely appreciated asset.
Right.
Then conceivably I could gift that to them without having to pay Oregon gift tax. Now I'm going to have to put it against my taxable gift, right, in terms of federal.
Right.
But then when they pass away, then they get the step up in basis and it comes back to me anyway.
I like your creative thinking.
But as long as it's outside of, 3 years or
right.
Like that.
So there are some clawback rules, so you want to make sure you're not gaming the system too terribly much. And there has to be an actual gift there. So
right.
It can't be actual, you know, strings attached where
right.
you've got a backdoor promissory note that they're
right.
going to pay it back, right? There's gift versus loans and all of the other pieces. So keeping also in mind that a lot of individuals don't experience personal audits in a real way, right? It's the ODR, Oregon Department of Revenue, doesn't seem to have a strong presence in our conceptual selves, right? When we file our Oregon, you know,
right.
we have some fears that the IRS might audit things, but they're really looking at the bigger businesses and so forth. Estate tax returns are a big business for
sure.
the Oregon Department of Revenue, so your chances of getting audited are higher, and they look heavily at gifting. So,
yeah.
So it needs to be truly done. But if it is, and you're in the right context, then absolutely, there's some valuation pieces we'd want to look into and make sure everything is, you know, I's are dotted and T's are crossed. You've got a CPA on board who's advising you every step of the way for your own protection, but there can be huge benefits.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Well, and just in the terms of getting it out of my estate, especially if I'm just over $1 million, or you've got a lot of folks who are widows or widowers, right, that maybe you mentioned the portability, and that's a huge issue, right? So
right.
They set up and did great. They did a great job, you know, or maybe these are folks where their parents are in this situation, but maybe, you know, my mom and dad did a lot of good planning and everything got left to mom, but she's been living pretty frugally.
Right.
Maybe the investments have done, you know, maybe there's a significant amount of market investments that have ratcheted up over the last 10 years.
Right.
So now she's back up over that $2 million exemption
right.
limit, and maybe we didn't set up with the, you know, the ins and outs that people would work, not to get too
right.
granular, but
right.
now mom has some extra assets and she's above her $1 million limit.
Right.
Right. So maybe she may want to start just siphoning that off. And I can't
yeah.
stress enough that I've seen it real time with clients who are grandparents, and to see the, like you said, to get that gratitude, to get the feeling of having gifted it
yeah.
during your lifetime, right? To see them use it rather than, you know, after you pass away, you hope that they use it correctly. But you can also ensure that they're using it, because you can say, hey, this
right.
is for college, this is for...
And if you use it right, maybe next year you'll
right,
get another
more.
One.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
if I see you squander it, then maybe not so much. And you can still... Very hard to have that kind of discretion and strings attached when you're gone.
Right.
But when you're here and you can watch and you can explain what your intentions are, you can watch how that money is used, it really has a different feel, a different bond, a different intent. And the only other thing I'd want to point out is that with a true gift, you are losing control.
Sure.
So that's, I'm not advising, I want to make sure really, really clear as far as my lawyer asterisk here, I'm not advising everybody to just go out and start giving your stuff away, right? You need to keep your own, and I do advise differently for my clients who are in their late 80s than I do for my clients who are just retired or,
sure.
or starting a family or wherever they are in life. So it changes over time as far as what your strategy is. It changes over, you know, the amounts and how you do it. Is it a controlled account with your financial advisor where you maintain some strings? Is it an outright check that you write at Christmas? You know, there's a lot of variables that are specific to each person's situation, and it doesn't come without the cost of you can't take it back.
Right.
So it especially is a very good tool for smaller gifts that don't put you on your own finances at any kind of risk or jeopardy. But then you can certainly, with a good advisory team, you can come up with some creative solutions to get around your example, you know, really appreciated asset, and see if there are some other benefits that you can reap by more complex gifting strategies.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I think, it's funny, people that are listening are going to hear me say the refrain that I say all the time whenever we have, in-depth segments with your practice or with Kevin's practice. The things that I'm hearing, and when we talk about these things, work with a professional, right?
Yeah.
If you have questions about this gifting strategy, and no gift, it goes without saying, we're not saying this is only something to think about if you're $5 million estate. It can be
exactly.
Something to think about lower estate, too. We started talking just about being able to give gifts, not
right.
necessarily about removing from your estate. So if you have questions about that, give our office a call, 503-253-3000. Give Taylor a call.
At KG Law Group, you can email at taylor@kglawgroup.com or give us a call at 503-878-8948.
Well, and we're happy to go over, strategies, see if it's the right fit, if we'd be able to help you. Pop me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com if you have a question you want us to cover on the show, if you want us to cover next time Taylor is in. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk some more about gifting, maybe talk some more about different individual ways that you've been, working with clients to get money out of their estate, to save on taxes, just to make sure that your wishes are followed. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
You're listening to Investing Simplified. Now, back to Bo Caldwell.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Bo Caldwell, CFP. Thank you for sticking with us today. Thanks for tuning in. As a reminder, if you have questions that you'd like to ask, questions that you'd like to get answered, hopefully Kevin Stege will be on next week. I know I keep saying that, but I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to get him on with a Zoom call to come on the show and answer your questions. I've gotten a couple of them, through the email and through the Investing Simplified Radio site. So Investing Simplified Radio.com. If you have questions that you'd like answered, you can send me an email at askbo@pfgwm.com or at investingsimplifiedradio.com. So, one of the things that we've been covering, today we talked about gifting. Taylor was on talking about making sure that you knew that you could gift more than $15,000. It just becomes a taxable gift. And what a lot of people are confused about with the taxing of gifts and the taxing of estates, and they say, well, there's an inheritance tax, right? Or a death tax. You've heard that. There is not an inheritance tax, and there is not technically, a death tax right now, right? What the taxes are is on your estate. If your estate is more than a certain amount, then your state owes estate tax on it. But when you inherit money, you actually don't owe taxes on it. It's the estate that does. So the other thing that, people get confused about is when they're gifting or they're having an estate and they think about estate tax owed or gift tax owed. So when you have a gift tax that's owed, that doesn't mean you have to pay it right now. We talked about it before, but the gift tax is a lifetime gift tax exemption, right, at the federal level. So remember, Oregon does not have a gift tax, but the federal level, it's a lifetime gifting exemption of north of $11 million per person right now. So that's two people if you're married, and it is portable. So what you do is you just have to file a gift tax return. So it's going to cost you a little bit of money with your CPA, but you just elect to have that tax that you owe go against this lifetime gifting exemption. So if you gifted $1 million this year to someone, yes, that's a taxable gift, but not something you have to pay taxes on today. You have to pay taxes on it eventually if your estate goes over that $11 million, but it's what's called a uniform code. So it means they aggregate the total taxable gifts that you've given during your lifetime and then the gift that you're giving at death. And if that adds up to more than that lifetime exemption amount, then you're going to owe some taxes, and at the estate level, it can be pretty spendy. So it really makes sense to start giving during your lifetime. Now, the question a lot of people will say is, well, that's great, but I need the money now. I need the money to live on. You know, I've been saving my whole life. I've put money away in my retirement plan. Well, that's not really a plan, right? You put it away in your 401k or your IRA or your 403b. And if you did, if you built up $1.5 million, awesome. That's really good for you and you deserve credit. You've done a really good job saving, and now we're changing and turning it into the, you know, living off of that money, turning it into our retirement income. And then once we have taken the retirement income, and then once we are passing away, it becomes basically a ticking tax time bomb. So there are strategies that we use with our clients to incorporate the gifting idea. And the gifting idea is, if you are planning on leaving that IRA when you pass away to your spouse, but then you and your spouse are planning, whichever one of you goes second, to leave it to your kids or even to your grandkids, there are strategies that we employ that we can cut the tax man out of that completely. So that way we can get you to leave that bequest to your kids or your grandkids, get them set up for college, get them set up for life, or however you want to get that set up. And they won't have to pay taxes on it, because we utilize gifting strategies, we utilize the rules, and we're not cheating on taxes, folks. We're not making people not pay taxes. We're making sure that we don't have to pay more than we should. One of those ways, I mentioned it with Taylor, that we've done with folks is, we have, if you have older parents, but not too old or not terminally ill parents, but older parents who you guys can talk and say, okay, well, you know, mom and dad, I have this, you know, stock that, you know, grandma left me when she died, and now it's appreciated because we've had this, you know, 12-year bull run that ended this year, but it's still appreciated a lot. Maybe it's Amazon, right? It has a couple $100,000 worth of capital gains, and you're planning on not getting rid of it. You want to hold on to it, but maybe eventually you want to get rid of it. If you were to gift that to your parents, the basis goes with it. You know, Taylor mentioned that's when you gift, the basis goes with it. So now your parents have a severely appreciated asset, but as long as their estate isn't going to go over the estate tax limit, when they leave it to you after death, it gets a step up in basis. Now, you have to be careful when you do things like that, because like Taylor said, it has to be a true gift. You have to give it to them and they have to be able to sell it. You can't have something in writing or a note payable or anything like that. But if you know that they were planning on leaving everything to you anyway, it can be an effective strategy. Again, not saying this was right for everybody. It's right for certain people when working with your CPA and your estate attorney and your financial advisor to coordinate these efforts. Another way that you can do is incorporate that gifting strategy to be able to leave money to a charity, to be able to leave money to your church, to be able to leave money to a dog shelter, whatever you are passionate about and whatever you're passionate about leaving funds to, make sure that you have done it right and that we can carve the taxes out of it, right? That's the key. We want to take the tax man out of it if we can help it. And we employ different strategies to do that. And if you'd like to learn about it, give our office a call, 503-253-3000, or drop me an email at bo@pfgwm.com. I'll be happy to talk with you about it, talk about how we utilize those strategies, see if it makes sense to you. And we utilize professionals like Taylor, professionals like Kevin, to make sure that we don't run afoul of any of the rules, because the key is the rules, the laws, they are there for a reason, and I don't want you to run afoul of them. I don't want you to get in trouble, and I don't want me to get in trouble, quite honestly, right? So the other thing that, you know, we utilize those, you know, tax sheltered products for is saving for retirement. I mentioned it a minute ago, right? And that's a terrible segue. I didn't really segue very well, but the idea is when you've saved up that money in your retirement account, in your IRA, and you've done, you know, gangbusters, especially if you, you know, started investing, you know, maybe at the bottom of the market in 2008, if you were really started stashing money away, if you're approaching retirement, your high earning years were probably right there around the end of the last financial crisis. And so your money has severely appreciated as you've been putting money away and you've done a really good job, and that's great. But now, let's say maybe you pulled the trigger for retirement in January or this last December, just recently, and now you're transitioning from this accumulation phase to the distribution phase. And you're taking money out and taking money out, and then whoop, now your account balance is down 35%. Or let's say you weren't all in the market. Let's say you did a pretty good job of diversifying. You got your portfolio. So now instead of 35%, which everybody else did, you were only down 20%. You're still down 20%, and it's going to take you a long time to get back. I talked about it earlier, where the market is now compared to where we started the year, where the market is now compared to where we started last year, and that can be a pretty daunting experience. And that's what's called the sequence of returns risk, and a lot of advisors don't talk to their clients about that because a lot of them don't know. And you know, as Chuck has always said, what you don't know can hurt you. And that sequence of returns risk means if the first couple of years in your retirement are down years, then you're already behind the eight ball and it's almost impossible to make your way back up without a significant increase in your risk. And couple that with good performance in the market, because you could increase your risk right now, but if the market continues to tumble like it has been, then increasing your risk didn't really help you, did it? So in order to combat that sequence of returns risk, you need to have a comprehensive plan, a retirement income plan, so that you know where the money's going to come from, you know how you're going to fund your retirement, because even with COVID, folks, we are living longer and longer these days. And if you retire at 65, you're probably, chances are good, you're going to live to be 90. Now, I don't know your personal health and, you know, situation. I don't know if you are a smoker or if you are out of shape or if you have a history of, you know, this, that, and the other in your family, but chances are that you're going to live to about 90. So have you planned properly to make sure that your money doesn't run out before you do? We don't want your money to get the coronavirus, right? We don't want your money to run out before you do. And ideally, if you're at all charitably inclined or interested in leaving a legacy behind, something behind to your kids, we want to make sure that there's enough money left over for them. And the way that we analyze that, and I've been asked by people that call in, and I've been asked by people that, you know, make appointments to see, you know, what's the secret sauce, you know, when we talk about our portfolios were down less than other folks, you know, it worked out now. Sometimes we're down more than other folks. You know, we're not, in terms of our managed, you know, our market risk portfolios, we're not magicians. I'm not going to tell you that we're always up. I tell you when I talk to clients or prospective clients or people call in and say, hey, well, I was up every year, I never down, they won't show you the statements. I'll show you the statements. You know, we go down when the market goes down. We just try to go down less than the overall market. But if you're, you know, aggressive, if you're 30 and you're trying to save for retirement, maybe you went down as much as the overall market because you're okay taking that risk. But if you're approaching retirement, you don't have time to come back. And so the way that we analyze that retirement income plan, when we start transitioning from saving for retirement to planning on spending in our retirement or planning on living in our retirement, we utilize, you know, a three-pronged approach to look at what kinds of money that you have, safe money, at-risk money, and your income dollars. And because we want to make sure, folks, that you have safe money. We talk about safe money. That's that you can have money set aside for emergencies. Need a new roof, need a new car, right? It doesn't really make money. It's at the bank, under the mattress, you know, out in the backyard. It's going to earn about the same, right? But we want to also make sure that you have money that will grow and that you have some money allocated to risky money. We call those like red dollars, right? I like to use colors because it's a lot easier for me. I'm a visual guy, despite the fact that I'm in an audio medium right now. But we got to have red dollars, right? That's our risky money. That's our market exposed money. And then we like to have green dollars too. We want to make sure that we have money that's going to keep growing and not going to set the world on fire, but that doesn't have risk, that's going to take away your sequence of returns risk. We've got to have money that's going to make sure that you have lasting income, that you're going to have a lasting retirement legacy. And some portion, I really believe, of your portfolio, of your retirement plan should be allocated to that. And everybody is different. So what we do when folks call in and want that retirement review, they want to have that no obligation consultation, which we do. And I do all the time for radio listeners, for people that call my office, is we'll get you set. Here's where you're at. Does that feel good? Here's what we see. And if it was me, this is what I would do. It's pretty easy. Wouldn't you like to know that before you actually pull the trigger on retirement? Wouldn't you like to know that before you start taking money out of your plan in retirement? So if you'd like to know that, if you'd like to look at that, give our office a call, 503-253-3000, and I'll run that for you. And if you're in a good spot, if we look at it and I say, here's where you're at, here's where it all pans out, here's the kind of income that we can expect in retirement, and here's your chances of outliving it, and you say, you know what, I'm okay with that. That feels good. Then great. And the worst thing that's happened to you is that you've, you know, taken an hour, taken a couple hours out of your life, especially right now if you're home, folks. It's a good time to do it. Let's take a look at it. The other thing to take a look at, if you're thinking about a retirement anytime soon, maybe in the next 5 or 10 years, if you're thinking about it, how did you feel 2 months ago? How did you feel when your portfolio was down? And because everybody was down unless you were in cash. And maybe you were down a little bit less, and okay, great. And it felt okay. Hey, I'm ready for it. Maybe you were down a lot, and it felt okay. And that's great, too. This has been a real test for a lot of people to see this is going to happen, because this sort of move, maybe not as fast, but this sort of move is going to happen on average at least 3 or 4 times during your retirement. Okay? This sort of move happened in 2001, 2002, 2003. This sort of move happened in 2007, 2008, 2009, and this sort of move happened in the end of 2018, and it happened at the beginning of 2020. Okay? The market went down significantly. Your market investments, your red investments, those investments that have risk, and that includes bonds, folks. That includes bonds, that includes stocks, that includes ETFs, mutual funds, managed portfolios, the managed portfolios we manage in the market, those have risk. Now, we can do our best to control that risk, but at the end of the day, it still has risk. So when you look at how your portfolio did, when you look at how your investments did, how did it feel? And did you have money allocated to that green zone to help balance out that sequence of risk? And if not, maybe it's worth exploring that. Maybe it's worth exploring a portfolio that's going to be all weather, that's going to last through these downturns that were going to happen, and it's going to help last through whatever's coming over the next couple of months. And your guess is as good as mine as to how fast the economy recovers, as to how fast the market actually recovers. Now, remember, with the market by the end, you know, right now, as of today, okay, the market still so far for this year is down, despite the fact, okay, that it snapped back. The NASDAQ is just barely negative. But were you willing to ride that NASDAQ ride to get back to just barely negative? The S&P for the year is significantly negative, despite the fact that you see on CNBC and on Fox Business and on CNN and wherever you, Bloomberg Television, wherever you get your market updates, those talking heads are talking about, hey, we're ripping off the bottom. We're a V-shaped recovery. It hasn't really happened so far yet. So if you want to explore how that retirement could happen, if you want to explore how you could make it through retirement and what your, you know, plan looks like, give me a call. 503-253-3000. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to go over it with you. And there's, again, no obligation when we talk to folks. It's a very easy process. I tell people it usually takes 1 or 2 conversations to decide if you think you want to explore working with us. And if not, again, worst case is you got a complimentary review by a professional to tell you where you're at. Right? It makes a lot of sense, I think. If you're uncomfortable with the volatility that you've had, if you're uncomfortable with your chances of making it to retirement, because your 401k plan, folks, your 403b plan, it'll tell you, hey, this is how much money you can expect in retirement. But that's only if you took that cash and turned it into a structured, not a structured settlement, but basically into a steady stream of income, turned it into a pension, but a pension that you can't touch. That's, hey, I've got $500,000 in my 401k, and it says, hey, I could expect $35,000 a year. That's because it turns it into a single premium immediate annuity, folks. And then now you've got $35,000 a year, but what happens if the car breaks down? What happens if you need a new roof? You haven't had a comprehensive portfolio that plans for all of those different things that could happen to you. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, or just drop me an email, bo@pfgwm.com. Thank you for listening today. I hope you're all staying safe. I'm hopeful that we'll get to open up soon. We'll be able to sit down together if you'd like to do that with us. Otherwise, be safe. God bless you all. Squeeze your loved ones and have a great day.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.